DW Africa Link.
Nigeria is set to receive more than $50 million from the US. And no, that's not charity. That's money that was allegedly stolen by Nigeria's former oil minister, Diazani Alison Madueke, and stashed in the US. The funds will soon be returned to Nigeria, where authorities claim that Alison Madueke, during her tenure as the head of Nigeria's state oil company, enriched herself and others by awarding contracts in return for bribes. So why are cases like this allowed to happen? And how can Nigeria deal with such corruption issues? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
The $52.88 million being repatriated represents only a fraction of the alleged corruption during Alison Madueke's tenure as oil minister that was from 2010 to 2015 under former President Goodluck Jonathan. It marks the first repatriation of assets linked to Alison Madueke. The seized assets include a superyacht and prime real estate in New York and California, which was confiscated in 2023 by U.S. authorities during Alison Madueke's trial. Let's get more from Dr. Ede Peter Daniel, a lecturer at the University of Abuja and a member of Academic Staff Union of Universities in Nigeria. Hello and welcome, sir. I also have DW's Ben Shimang, our correspondent in Abuja, Nigeria. Hello, Ben. Dr. Daniel, we're talking about more than $50 million in seized assets being returned to Nigeria. Interesting story, no doubt. When you first heard it, what was your initial reaction? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I said, wow, it blew my mind. It blew my mind in the sense that coming from America, I wasn't expecting it. And this is because of the past experiences that I've seen, the collaboration between Nigeria and America. I have not really, you know, seen good support from America towards Nigeria. In as much as we have a lot of Nigerians in America doing well and helping the economy of America, I have not seen that reciprocity towards Nigeria. Based on the fact that there have been issues in the past that as Nigerians we expected, you know, a good support from America and we never had it. And so it created some kind of, what is this support at this point all about? And now that it's coming, good and fine. We have had in the past monies returns to Nigeria, stolen money, and now this one that has to do with the former minister of petroleum, Desiani. And it's a welcome development to hear that so much money that was stolen or misappropriated were being returned courtesy of the U.S. government and the collaboration with Nigerian efforts to see that these monies are returned. We appreciate that effort to start with. We appreciate that effort and we equally look forward to, you know, better collaborations like that that could make Nigeria, and as a matter of fact, Africa as a whole, better. Not just Nigerian thing, because you see that most of the crimes that are committed in Nigeria and in Africa as a whole, those who commit these crimes against the state, you know, find themselves a way into Western countries, America, Europe, and thereabout, and they find solace there. And the money they take away from here, they sit there and enjoy them while their country suffer.
Right.
Now, if we are looking at the issue of globalization, and if globalization will have any meaning for the world, then we have to, at all levels, in all countries of the world, try to unify the system of crime, such that where crime is committed anywhere in the world, you cannot go and hibernate in another country after committing crime.
Very well.
You get that. So if globalization makes any sense, and if globalization is not out there for some persons to lord it over other people, then we have to bring it down home. So this act of returning this money gives the United States government another credence, the way some of us here look at America. It boosts that relationship and all that.
Okay, that's good. Good to know. You basically are hammering on that sort of relationship, the fact that safe havens should not be created for politicians to go and enjoy stolen money. So that's the point you're hammering on. Very well noted. Let me come to you, Ben. You know, this has definitely made waves in Nigeria. A lot of people are talking about it. First, give us the reaction you're getting and put the spotlight more on this individual and the crime that he committed.
Eddie, honestly, Nigerians are just happy that money is returning virtually the way that of Abacha has been returned. And the figure is so huge, because this really is not just the money. Biazeni, when she was Minister of Petroleum Resources, it was alleged that $20 billion got missing under her very eyes. That is being prosecuted by the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission. Apart from that, some slush funds from political parties that time via the Office of the National Security Advisor. Again, it's alleged and traced to her. So these are weighty allegations. Before now, Eddie, let me inform you that she has some houses valued at $80 million spread across Europe and America. These are things that are still being investigated. And just in 2021, I want to tell you that jewelry worth $40 million was seized, forfeited to the federal government via the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission. So we are dealing with an individual and many of her likes who have not been brought to justice yet, who indeed are stifling the lives of Nigerians.
So that means, so two things you're saying. People are definitely excited that somehow it seems justice is being served with the return of this money. But at the same time, they are concerned that there's much more money out there that should be returned. Is that accurate?
Exactly. It's very, very accurate. And if you check, we do have some other agencies that are always revealing some of these dirty deals. There is what we call the Financial Intelligence Unit. They are in every bank in Nigeria. When huge monies are being lodged, when huge monies are being taken away, they are supposed to inform the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission. But again, there is always allegations of lackluster approach to many of these things. If not, tell me how billions of naira will be dragged away physically. They are wired using electronical means. So they are there, every bank, every branch, and they know all of this. Yet we see that at the point Nigerians are saying, if they join hands properly, and Nigeria will be better for it.
Dr. Daniel, let me come to you on this. You know, you, with your expertise as a development person, this is money that could have been used for a lot of developmental projects in Nigeria. We talk about Nigeria, we look at some of the challenges the country has faced before and is still facing, what does this case tell us about public service and, you know, personal gratification or the way public money is used?
Thank you very much. It puts our public officers at a very bad spotlight because it has become a kind of a cankerworm within the system, but it is such that can be corrected if only, you know, some technicalities are put into place and also the norms of our people are brought, you know, forward. Now, you know that the issue of corruption is not such that you could easily, the term corruption is not defined in our constitution. You find a public officer who has stolen, and then you accuse him of corruption, you will never get justice because they will play around the word corruption. But if you accuse him of stealing and you are specific of what he has stolen, then the law goes after him. So for our public officers, they know this. Now, the issue of corruption comes in this manner. I have a different perspective to it in the sense that in our life, naturally, as Africans, we have this flair for giving. It's hidden in our adages, our proverbs, and all that. For instance, in Igbo language, though I'm not Igbo, they will say, that is, you don't go empty-handed to see a king. You see that? Now, so also, even when a king visits you, he does not go empty-handed. So we have that flair for giving, you know. Now, it has been abused in a manner that before you get contracts in Nigeria, there has to be kickbacks, you know. Now, if we do a complementary reflection of that act with what is possibly practiced in the Western world or what we got from the Western world, we have a room for what we call miscellaneous expenses. Now, miscellaneous is not defined. Right. And so, rather than taking what does not belong to them, it is to make the home better so that when they leave the office, they get back home, they still find comfort there. And it has the same measure with every other person. In Nigeria, right, a public officer does not live where common people live. But perhaps in the United States or in any other European country, you have your public officers living almost in the same environment where the common people are living.
I see. You see that? You're trying to, you're setting up a pattern here where the sort of customary or traditional way of doing things is being abused a lot by politicians, where, you know, more money gets involved and then it turns out to be looting, as is the case we're talking about here. But I want you to briefly sort of try to explain to me what you make of it in terms of the fact that I had to take a foreign nation to get this money back for Nigeria. And is it to say that Nigeria could not do it alone, or is it, as you suggested, welcome measure considering that the money was clearly being spent outside Nigeria?
Okay, thank you very much. You see, it is not as if Nigeria cannot deal with the situation, but because of the complementary role of the Western world in accepting and accommodating people who steal from Nigeria and leave Nigeria. It becomes difficult. Now, we have our laws. The United States have their laws. European countries have their laws and all that. And you see, most of these crimes are even committed in the Western world or Asia. When they come here, get contracts, deep, whatsoever they will do, they fly down to Germany, they fly down to America or anywhere to share that money. That money is wired into the foreign banks, and that is where it is. That is why it becomes difficult for Nigeria or the Nigeria Enforcement Agency to deal with it within the country.
Your point is definitely well noted. Ben, let me come to you on the aspect of dealing with such issues. Would you say in Nigeria, anti-corruption laws are strong enough? Obviously, asking this because corruption cases involving high-ranking government officials, you know, there's quite a number of them, and it's not many of them, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that actually see justice being served. So what do you make of the justice system overall, the anti-corruption laws in Nigeria?
Yes, you see, Eddie, the anti-corruption laws are very, very strong. But what Nigeria lacks is committed officers, committed agents to ensure that the laws are followed the way they are written. Now, I'll give you two examples. There used to be a governor of a Delta State called James Enaboifo Ibori. EFCC caught him, leveled all sorts of allegations, close to 200, but in the end, the court simply discharged this officer and said he was as clean as a newborn baby. But the man made the mistake of going to London, and he was arrested there, tried, and jailed because they saw money that he wired to London. So he was jailed there, he has served his prison terms, and he came back to Nigeria. And once you're a former convict, you cannot occupy formal or government office. So that is a clear case that the law in Nigeria is there, but the implementation is weak. Another person was Timipre Silva Alamasinga. He was governor of Bayelsa State. He was arrested in London over money slashing, over wiring of money to that place. He had to escape, having dressed as a woman, to come back to Nigeria. So you can see that over here we have the law, but the agents are not working the way they ought to be. Sometimes you have.
So we're talking about the laws are strong, you say, but what is the problem?
The problem is that there's always political patronage. No, this guy belongs to us in this same political party. No, this person is from the same religion from us. No, this person is from the same region from us. Therefore, if you tamper with him, it's going to affect our political calculation. So just that the issues are not being followed the way they are laid down. So there is a human factor that is very great in terms of ensuring that Nigerian laws are not followed.
It's not just that from abroad, because they were working with Nigerian authorities. So should we give Nigerian authorities some credit for seeing this through to this stage?
Yes, we can give Nigerians some credit. In particular, the current chairman, current because he is new, Olukayode Olanipekun, he's the chairman of the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission. Now, you can see that he's actually pursuing these cases religiously. Some that were in abeyance, they've gone into oblivion. They is waking them up. And of course, the Minister of Justice and the Minister of Justice, Attorney General of the Federation, Latif Fagbemi, he's actually, they are working in tandem to ensure that corruption is actually reduced to a very minimal level. But it's not easy. Just like Buhari would say, you fight corruption, corruption will fight you back.
But of course, Dr. Daniel, corruption still has to be fought. It's some would argue that one cannot totally stamp out corruption, but one can totally reduce corruption. What does it take to do that? You talked about Nigeria, you talked about different African countries and the fact that corruption is endemic, and it's about people also taking advantage of culture or cultural systems and norms. What is the way to really nip corruption in the bud?
It's very, very simple. It takes leadership to begin, to turn the table around and say, look, enough is enough. This is our country. We do not have any other. And we must have to do the needful to protect it and put it in the right trajectory. As Africans, we have our customs and tradition. Today, if you are swearing in anybody into public office, he holds the Holy Bible on the one hand or the Holy Quran on the other and swear. But when he gets to the office, it's a different thing altogether. But I bet you, if he has to swear by Ogun or Oita or any Amadioha, as the case may be,
I don't mean to laugh. It's what you
will come to. Recently, I saw in one of the African countries where a snakes, python snake, are put around your neck, and then you swim to enter the office. And you can see how they are growing. Those countries were not as near to any local government in Nigeria in the past. But today, the currency in those countries is stronger than the Nigerian currency.
Which countries are you talking about here?
Let's talk a neighboring country like Benin Republic.
Okay.
I've seen that.
So I don't know how you're able to say that with a straight face without even laughing a bit. I apologize for laughing a bit, because in a sense, just for people to understand what you're saying, you feel people or government workers, when they are being sworn in, have almost no respect for, you know, religion in that sense, like the Bible or the Quran. So you feel that if they swear against, you know, gods, so to speak, or the spirits.
Sorry. Let me chip in something here. I'm a Christian, but I can tell you categorically that when you come to my community and the community is seated and they agree on something, whatever they agree on, and they say nobody goes against it as a community, I bet you if you go against it, you will not last more than 3 days.
Very interesting discussion there. Thank you very much, Dr. Ede Peter Daniel, a lecturer at the University of Abuja and a member of Academic Staff Union of Universities in Nigeria. Also, many thanks to you, Ben Chimang, our correspondent in Abuja, Nigeria.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Nigeria's Attorney General Latif Fagbemi stated that the return of the stolen funds is a significant step in combating corruption. Out of the total sum, President Tinubu's government plans to spend $50 million in rural electrification projects via the World Bank, and $2.88 million will go to the International Institute of Justice to enhance the justice system and promote anti-corruption efforts. However, authorities are emphasizing the need for accountability and careful monitoring of the funds. This is not the first time alleged stolen money is being repatriated to Nigeria from abroad. The U.S. government repatriated $20.6 million in November 2022 to Nigeria. They were assets allegedly stolen by former Nigerian military leader General Sani Abacha. Also, 5 years ago, Washington transferred more than $300 million to the Nigerian government as part of a previous agreement to repatriate assets that tracked back to the Abacha regime. So what do you think of the plan by Nigeria's government? Join the discussion on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Don't forget to click follow so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.